Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Now, honey, remember when we were married, you wanted to be joined together in matrimony.
Yeah. And as I recall, it was till death do us part.
Yeah, that's right.
That event is about to take place right now.
The most frightening thing to me when I got married was that there would be one person who would know me better than anybody else. You know, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool your wife. There are dark corners of yourself you don't want anybody to know, but she gets to know them. She knows your good side and your bad side, you know. And especially when we're, you know, they say, oh, it must be just marvelous being married to Bobby. So funny, you know. And she goes, oh, yeah, he's just gang of laughs to be with. And when I'm having a fight with a wife, invariably they'll say, Jenny's such a lovely girl. I say, she's terrific. She really, really is a wonderful girl. She really is, you know. Especially when you aren't talking to one another for 4 or 5 days. But you can fool your children, and you can fool your friends. You know, go out to a party and get smashed, and they'll say, you know, and your wife will say, you were really smashed, and your friends will say, oh, I didn't realize Bob was drinking, you know. That. But you can't fool your wife. Now, this is a guy, gets up the next morning with a, he's been out, and he's got the daddy of all hangovers, see, and he comes down. Rob, don't play with a dump truck. Just leave the dump truck alone. Don't play with a Vroom toy. Just leave the Vroom toy alone. Daddy doesn't feel well, Robert. Daddy has a cold, Robert. Another cold, yes, I know.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, f*** you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform. There seems to be less wind in here. They might tell you you're on a non-stop flight. Well, I don't think I care for that. No, I insist that my flight stop. Preferably at an airport. It's those sudden, unscheduled cornfield and housing development stops that seem to interrupt the flow of my day.
Girl, you have to wait for the phone to ring, right? And when you finally go on the date, the girl has to be well-dressed, the face has to look nice, the hair has to be in shape, the girl has to be the one that's bright and pretty, intelligent, a good sport. Howard Johnson's again, hooray, hooray. Excuse me.
Almost every year, ever have a heavyset aunt fall down the steps? Make a whole lot of noise. It's scary too, because they be calling Jesus on the way down. And aunts don't like to fall straight down the steps like a kid. They be trying to break the fall and hold it and stop the shit. And that just make the fall take a half hour then. Real loud, yeah, like.
Lord Jesus Christ, help me, Lord, please, Jesus, please. Jesus, God, help me, Lord. Jesus, help me. I'm falling down the steps. Oh, Lord, Jesus Christ, please. My shoe. Oh, Lord, Jesus Christ, help me. I'm halfway down now. Help me, Lord.
And you get on the plane. Pilot, of course, always has to come on the PA system. This guy's so excited about being a pilot, he can't even stand himself. Well, I'm going to take it up to about 20,000. Then I'm going to make a left by Pittsburgh. Then I'm going to make a right by Chicago. Then I'm going to bring it down to 15,000. You know, he's giving you the whole route, all his moves. We're in the back going, yeah, fine, that's all. You know, just do whatever the hell you got to do. I don't know. End up where it says on the ticket, really. Is.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So the National Comedy Center, the first nonprofit cultural institution and national visitor experience dedicated to the art of comedy, will have its grand opening on Wednesday, August 1st, coinciding with the organization's annual Lucille Ball Comedy Festival in Jamestown, New York. The new 37,000-square-foot, $50 million facility tells the story of comedy from its origins through the present with more than 50 immersive interactive exhibits. Headlining the opening weekend celebration will be performers from past and present, Amy Schumer, Lily Tomlin, original Saturday Night Live cast members Dan Aykroyd, Lorraine Newman, Garrett Morris, along with Fran Drescher, Lucy Arnaz, and many more. And joining us tonight to talk about this exciting new adventure is the executive director of the National Comedy Center, Journey Gunderson. Welcome, and congratulations on the launch of this new institution.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about this because I must tell you, I visited the Lucille Ball Desi Arnaz Museum in Jamestown years ago. I really, really enjoyed the experience. But what this has evolved into, I think, is nothing short of groundbreaking. What an inspiration to open up this comedy center.
Thank you for saying so. We are pretty excited about it.
You are essentially seeking to have Jamestown become the Cooperstown, really, of comedy.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. This is really the nation's first major-scale cultural institution that celebrates comedy as an art form. And so it's a 37,000 square feet of exhibit space experience with more than 50 exhibits on comedy, all aspects of comedy. And it's pretty exciting because, you know, not many of your listeners have probably been to a museum that was just designed and built in, you know, 2018 or 2017 and 2018 as far as what technology is now available and what interactivity is now available as we go to engage people in these stories. So it's a mix of interactivity and immersive storytelling and then grounded by physical artifacts. So it's not as though it's just a bunch of stuff in glass cases. It's a mix of media. It's a mix of eras. There is something here for everyone, whether you're a casual comedy consumer or a hardcore comedy nerd for whom this is Mecca, you're going to really enjoy yourself here.
Well, and there's no question the origins of all this, you know, being Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, what an impact they had in the world of comedy and in television. You know, these people really developed the television sitcom as we know today.
Yes, yeah, it's only fitting that Lucille Ball, being from Jamestown, New York, who did say to Jamestown in the late 80s, "Don't just celebrate me. Don't just make this about I Love Lucy nostalgia. Celebrate all comedy and inspire the next generation of artists to go into comedy and, you know, elevate the respect level that this nation and culture has for comedy." So it's only appropriate that this be in her hometown. And of course, yes, she and Desi Arnaz revolutionized entertainment.
Which I don't think a lot of people know. And I think they deserve to be honored for that reason. And even as you look ahead more in a more broader sense to salute everybody in comedy, which was really Lucille Ball's vision for this, they still need to be honored. And as I said, I've been into this museum before, and just on the Lucy Desi side of it, very fascinating artifacts and set creations that you guys did for the 50th anniversary that I think fans just love.
It's true. And with the design, production and launch of the National Comedy Center, we have also made some improvements to the Lucille Ball Desi Arnaz Center, and so we operate both, and there's a joint ticket that people can buy, and so now when you come to Jamestown, there are two attractions that you can visit under our roof, or I shouldn't say under our roof, they're a few blocks apart, but, you know, under our leadership, and it really, you know, Jamestown is in a tourism destination area as it is. If you're not familiar with gorgeous Chautauqua Lake, you know, just our comedy festival, the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival, which coincides with the grand opening August 1st through the 5th, welcomes visitor zip codes from 45 states this year, already represented in our ticket buyers. So really the whole nation sort of descends on Jamestown to celebrate comedy, and now you can do so in the nation's first Museum of Comedy.
Yeah, before we dig into the Comedy Museum, tell us a little bit about what you would see on the Lucille Ball Desi Arnaz side of this whole experience.
Sure. So You mentioned the replica sets from I Love Lucy, and we also have costumes from the show, props from the show, I Love Lucy, that is, because they did have other shows.
Right.
And we have a new sort of look at Madeline Pugh Davis as a female comedy writer that was part of the fantastic team behind the success of I Love Lucy. We sort of look at her through a lens of, you know, in 2018, looking back to the era of 1951 to 1957 and thinking about being a female comedy writer, you know, that had to be a tough sort of scenario.
Sure.
And then Lucille Ball becoming, you know, visitors would learn about Lucille Ball becoming the first female head of a major Hollywood studio in 1960. You know, Desi Lu was the most powerful production studio of the time period and of the era. So pretty remarkable what Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, and generally speaking, people know Lucy, obviously, to be the comedian and be the head, you know, I Love Lucy, The Lucy Show, Here's Lucy, movies that she's done and so forth. But I think a lot fewer people understand that she did run that studio. I mean, she greenlit, you know, The Untouchables and Star Trek, and, I mean, some groundbreaking shows. And in the late 60s, sold it to, I think it was Gulf Western or Paramount. But she really was a powerhouse. And she knew, I think, after she divorced Desi, that she had to take over that role and really be the staunch leader of this organization and make some tough decisions. And she did just that.
She was a tough woman. I think the word resilient comes to mind. You know, show business is a tough industry, especially at that time for a young woman without a lot of means, coming from little old Jamestown, New York, and breaking into the industry. So by the time I Love Lucy started, she had been in 42 movies.
Right.
And was almost 40 years old.
Right.
And so just thinking of it that way is pretty remarkable. And,
sure.
You know, there were people who said that she was tough to work with in the industry later on. And I don't know, I tend to think that she probably just knew what she was doing and wasn't you know, passive, and
right.
Was probably pretty direct about things.
I would think so. I would think so.
Much like she was with Jamestown in the late 80s when we came to her. I say we. I wasn't involved at the time, but
yeah.
Jamestown said, hey, we want to build a museum about you. And she said, you know, it would be much better and wiser to make Jamestown a destination for all comedy and broaden this and always celebrate contemporary comedy as well.
Now, you've been with the Lucy Desi Center for Comedy since 2011 or so. And how did the vision for the National Comedy Center really begin for you?
Sure. So when the board of directors hired me in January of 2011, it was specifically to broaden the organization's mission and operation to building this thing that at the time was being called a Comedy Hall of Fame. So that was sort of the concept in line with what Lucille Ball had suggested. That concept evolved from conversations with comedians and artists themselves, that this is an art form, and rather than get into the business of deciding who to induct on an annual basis or try to have measures based on, you know, arbitrary measures of success, that we really, our approach and why we're the National Comedy Center and not a Hall of Fame, so to speak, is that of an art museum. You know, Lewis Black,
sure,
joked in sort of jumping on board with this, saying, you know, it's true, you don't go to the Met and they say, hey, Van Gogh did some good stuff this year, let's induct him.
Right.
So this, and it really is the best way for storytelling the history of comedy, because it's about the varied and various unique contributions to the craft. So, you know, it's everyone from the Marx Brothers to Dave Chappelle. It's Andy Kaufman. It's alternative styles of comedy. It's writers and directors and producers behind the scenes, you know, not just the people we know in front of the camera. It's cartooning and comedy. So it's really meant to engender in visitors an appreciation for the craft and how difficult it is and what the creative process is behind the scenes.
Well, and once it started rolling, your collection expanded in droves. And I was just looking at some of the names, and I know most recently you got collections from George Carlin, from Kelly, from Shelley Berman. Rose Marie was more recent. The Gary Shandling estate. Andy Kaufman, as you mentioned. But I'm looking at some of the other names here between, you know, Johnny Carson, Jonathan Winters, the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation, the Red Skelton Museum of American Comedy, the the Smithsonian, the Library of Congress, Bob Hope. I mean, there's so many elements that I think you were able to secure for this reason, because you created this institution solely to salute all those that made comedy so special to all of us. And I think that's pretty cool. What's the visitor experience going to be like? What are we going to see there, Journey?
Sure. So upon arrival, each visitor actually completes a pretty fun exercise called Create Your Profile, and it's your sense of humor profile. So in a fun sort of brief exercise, you tap things on a screen that you like and that you find funny, whether it's personalities and individuals, television shows, movies, alternative media, from web series to podcasts. And that information is stored on an RFID chip. We call it a laugh band, which is a bracelet that you wear throughout the experience. You use that to sort of swipe and tap into exhibits. And so many of the exhibits are actually customized to your sense of humor, or they're equipped to read the room of who's in the space among the visitors and present content based on the strongest sense of humor attributes in the room, whether it's fans of observational comedy, ironic and sarcastic comedy. In the film house, for example, the film exhibit, fans of parody might trigger a look at the filmmaker Mel Brooks. So that part of things has really helped us have sort of a way in or an entry point to the storytelling, because comedy is so broad, mm-hmm. Over so many eras. And then the other thing that people are sort of welcome to do as they're in the more than 50 exhibit experience is explore at their leisure. There's an intended chronology, but if you deviate from it, it works just fine. There is a deep dive sort of exhibit into the trunks of George Carlin. So 7 trunks arrived in Jamestown with, wow, a 25,000 piece archive.
Wow.
And if you are a teenager who's perhaps never heard of George Carlin, you come away with an appreciation for who he was and what his impact was. If you are a hardcore Carlin fan, you could spend hours just digitally sifting through this virtual trunk that we let you sift through his archives with. There are also, as you mentioned, artifacts on display. There's an interactive stand-up exhibit that's built like a little comedy club where you check in with your wrist chip and learn the stories of the art form of stand-up. There's a late-night comedy exhibit where you learn about the pillars of late-night who have ever hosted behind the desk. There's a Hall of Moguls where you learn about the Norman Lears and Carl Reiners and James Burrows and Lorne Michaels of the world of comedy, people who have had a wide sphere of influence. There's even a blue room, the lower level of the museum.
So
that came from early conversations with comedians as well. There was a skepticism about what we were going to do here, and there was a fear that we were going to sort of Disney-fy comedy and like pretend that dirty comedy, profane comedy doesn't exist so that we could have this tourism attraction. And we said, no, the authenticity of the voice here and the authenticity of our approach,
absolutely,
and the credibility with the industry and the artists is paramount. And so rather than censor the very thing we're celebrating, we do a good job of warning visitors that there is some level of explicit content on the main floor, but mainly an uncensored experience on the lower floor, which we call the blue room, and we look at the history of roasts and insult comedy. We look at the party albums era, party records, I should say, like Red Fox, for example.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's how comedy sold itself, Bob. Newhart, all those, it was all about their albums back then.
Yeah, and one thing I'm very excited to say is that we have, with the materials lent to us from the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation and Kitty Bruce, we are pleased to be cutting the ribbon on a Lenny Bruce exhibit down in the Blue Room, which is really a story of the First Amendment and freedom of speech and censorship. Lenny Bruce was famously arrested right from stage. And so his trench coat has found a home here, and as well as many of his personal papers. And so people can really learn a very important story when it comes to freedom of speech and comedy here at the National Comedy Center.
And who's behind the design team in all this? I'm assuming this has been many years in the making, really trying to figure out the concepts for how you wanted to do this, but you've had a great design team behind you too.
Yes, and you're right. It's been years and years in the making, from early conceptual phases right on through. And so we, the National Comedy Center leadership, have been very heavily involved in the concepting of this. We worked with a firm called JRA, Jack Rouse Associates, early on. And then at a certain point, there's kind of a handoff to the interactive design firm, Cortina Productions, based right outside of D.C., who has done cultural attractions and museums all over the world. And then for the real storytelling and the authenticity of understanding the comedy community and representing their voices, we turned to a huge team of researchers and developers and producers from Herzog & Company, and under the leadership of executive producer Stephen J. Morrison, we interviewed dozens and dozens of comedians and comedic producers and creators, so that the storytelling is really in their voices. That's a good way not to screw up the storytelling about comedy. And so that is a big part of what visitors will experience when they come through the doors of the National Comedy Center, is hearing from Billy Crystal what it was like to make certain scenes in Harry Met Sally, you know, right from the horse's mouth. And so we tried our very best to sort of bring a high level of authenticity.
That's very cool. And you can also provide, you've gotten support not only from the state, but from individual donations as well. But if folks are interested in this, obviously they want to come visit. You're kind of in the same region of Buffalo and Niagara Falls and Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Toronto. You can get there all kinds of ways. But you can also get involved, memberships, and make some donations as well, I'm sure.
That's right. It's important that people understand we are a nonprofit, but that has been really key, actually. You mentioned so many of our lending institutions, you know, who are willing to loan items to us and work with us, and the artists willing to do interviews for no compensation. That's because everybody involved in this project is doing it for the right reasons. Every bit of money that comes through the door in the form of admissions or donations or memberships goes right back into making the experience great and continuing to update it so it's always relevant. We've also designed it so that every visitor has a reason to come back. There's so much to see, and the experience is so dynamic that your second visit can be very different from your first, and I think that's going to be key.
Very cool. Well, again, the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York, opens Wednesday, August 1st. I encourage you to plan a trip and visit. And for more information, just want to see kind of what's going on, you can visit comedycenter.org. Journey, congrats on the launch, and I'm extremely excited to see everything.
Thank you. We're very excited as well. And keep in mind, if you are listening to this, that you can not only be among the first visitors through the door of this new national attraction of comedy, but you can also, by evening, see artists like Amy Schumer and others that we have in town.
Very cool. All right, we'll check it out. Thanks again, Journey.
Thanks for having me.
All right, it's 720 WGN.